Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together praising Him. The song that we're singing this week did not begin as a poem and then music added later. Nope. This song began as a tune, and this is the story behind it. Mrs. Joseph Knapp had written a tune in 1873. She really liked the tune, but it didn't have any words to the song. Well, one day, she was visiting her friend, Fanny Crosby. Mrs. Knapp played the tune for Fanny and saw that Fanny really liked it. So Mrs. Knapp asked her, she said, "Would you be willing to write some words for this song?" Mrs. Knapp played the song a second time, and when she did, she looked over and saw Miss Fanny kneeling in prayer. Then, as she started to play the song a third time, Miss Fanny started dictating the words to the song, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine."
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood.
This is my story, this is my song, praising
Hey, boys and girls, Paul is at an exciting place, isn't he? He is speaking in front of kings and governors. King Agrippa had come to visit Governor Festus, and Paul was able to share the story of Jesus and how Jesus had changed his life. And now we're going to find out what King Agrippa thought about it. Before we get started, what do we always do? We pray. You're right. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to help us to learn and understand what you want us to learn. Come into our hearts, Lord. Amen. Paul must have been praying in his mind as he talked to King Agrippa. Have you ever prayed in your mind? You send up a quick prayer as you're doing something because you need wisdom or you need extra help. I think of Nehemiah. Remember how he was very concerned for his people in Jerusalem? And what did he do? When the king asked him, "What's going on? Why are you sad?" Nehemiah sent up a quick prayer, and then he shared the story about his people and how sad it was that the city was in ruins. God worked on that king's heart, and he let Nehemiah go and help his brethren. Well, Paul, I'm sure, was doing the same thing. He was praying in his mind as he's talking to King Agrippa and to Festus, and he's praying, "Lord, please help them to know you. Help them to choose you. Work in their hearts and their minds, and let your Spirit knock on that door of their hearts." What question did he ask the king? And how did the king answer? Let's look at Acts chapter 26, verse 27 and 28. Acts chapter 26, verse 27 and 28. Acts is in the New Testament, you're right. It's right after John. And then you have John, Acts, Romans. We're going to the end of the book of Acts, chapter 26. There's only 28 chapters in the book of Acts, so we're right at the end. And then we're going to read verse 27 and 28. Let's see what that says.
King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian.
Wow, do you see what Paul said? He asked if King Agrippa believed, and then he said, I know you believe. He could see in King Agrippa's eyes that he believed what Paul was saying. But what was his response? What was the king's response? You almost persuaded me. Paul held out his chained hands. He looked lovingly at Festus, at King Agrippa, at Bernice, at all the others who were listening, and oh! How he longed for them to choose Jesus. He knew that they would have peace. He knew they would have happiness. He knew that they would have the freedom that he had, even though he was in chains. He wanted them to be in heaven someday. God was giving them a wonderful chance to choose Jesus as their Savior. But they didn't. How sad. Look at verse 30, 31, and 32. 30, 31, and 32. Let's see what that says.
When he had said these things, the king stood up, as well as the governor and Bernice and those who sat with them. And when they had gone aside, they talked among themselves, saying, this man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains. Then Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar.
These important people didn't know that they were prisoners of Satan. They thought it was crazy. Paul should be free. He hadn't done anything wrong. But yet here they were prisoners of Satan. Paul was the only one truly free because who had set him free? Jesus had. You're right. And he longed for those important people to let Jesus set them free too. Free from the burdens. Free from the chains of sin. Free from their selfishness, their evil thinking. Jesus could set them free. Paul had asked that the Caesar in Rome decide what to do with him, so a Roman officer named Julius took him, together with other prisoners, in a ship that was sailing to Rome. He began that journey from Caesarea all the way to Rome. I encourage you to get a map or talk to your parents, look on the internet for a map, or print one out so that you can kind of see where Paul was going and get an idea for how far that was and what it would have been like. I want you to look it up. Look in the back of your Bible. If you look, sometimes they have maps there. And so you're able to see where the prisoners, along with Paul on that ship, had traveled. It's really good to be able to see it. So I want to encourage you to do that. Look at Acts chapter 27, verse 1. Acts chapter 27, verse 1. This is the very last verse we're going to look at today. It's the next verse from the one that we just read, Acts chapter 27, verse 1.
And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment.
Traveling by ship in those days wasn't like traveling by ship nowadays. Have you ever been on a great big ship or even on a smaller ship? There's lots of knobs and dials and all these gauges to help you know how fast you're going, how deep the water is, the kind of pressure that your engine has. Sometimes there are even weather instruments so that you know when a storm is coming. There's all kinds of things that modern boats today have that the boats back then did not have. There were no engines on these ships. They had to go by the wind. So they would have these great big sails that they would unfurl. And then they would go and the wind would push them through the water. But if there was no wind, guess what would happen? There would be no movement. That ship would be stuck there, just kind of riding the currents. They might have some oars and they could help row the boat. But in general, it wasn't a very fast trip, and if there was a storm, they could easily be blown off course because the sailors, they would follow the stars. So the sailors had to depend on these stars to get them to where they needed to go. But what happened when the stars were covered by clouds or by storms? Well, the sailors would have no idea where they were. They would have no idea where they were going, and they were just at the mercy of that storm. But you know what? Paul was thankful. He was so thankful because two of his friends were able to go with him. Guess who one of them was? It starts with an L. We know his name pretty well. He even wrote a book in the Bible. Luke. Luke was one of his friends, Dr. Luke. He went with Paul. And the other one was from one of the churches that Paul had started. They didn't know what a dangerous trip it was going to be. And oh my, was it going to be dangerous. But you know what? Whenever we're with friends, it always makes things better, doesn't it? It's so nice to have somebody that you can spend time with and that knows you and that you can share maybe your fears or talk about God together or be able to be kind of in the same mindset. Paul was so thankful for his friends and his companions. Do you have some friends? Has God given you friends? I hope you have, and I hope that you're a good friend to others, that you help others, and that you look for ways that you can be an encouragement to them. Well, we're going to find out what happened next time, because it's pretty exciting. In fact, Paul told them, don't go, but they didn't listen. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and ask Jesus to be with us as we go from this time spending with him and we go throughout our day, all right? Lord, thank you so much for your care, for your love. Be with us today in our school, in our work, in our play, in everything that we do. Give us a special blessing. Help us to be a good friend, just like Paul's friends were to him, Dr. Luke and the other friend that Paul had brought into the church. Please help us to be like them, to support those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our memory verse today is from Psalm 91. Did you know I memorized that whole chapter at one point? I think I could say it all, but I'm not sure. There might be a few places I'm rusty on. But I love this verse where it says, he shall call upon me. Who's saying that? Jesus is saying it. He's saying that we should call upon him, and guess what he's promised to do? He will answer. He will be with us in trouble. He will deliver us and honor us. Isn't that wonderful? When we call upon Jesus, who is our best friend, he will be with us and help us and deliver us. What a promise.
Psalm 91:15.
I will be with him in trouble, in trouble, in trouble. I will be with him in trouble. Psalm 91:15. I will be with him in trouble, in trouble, in trouble. I will be with him in trouble. Psalm 91:15.
The Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.